Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to the Edge of Sports podcast. I'm Dave Zirin, joined by basketball savant Arya Shirazi, brought to you by The Nation magazine. This is an emergency pod because news just went across the wires with a scintillating hiss that Knicks coach Tom Thibodeau, the most successful coach in 25 years for the New York Knicks organization, 5 years with the team, 4 playoff appearances, coming off their first trip to the conference finals in a quarter century, and taking the Indiana Pacers to 6 games. Yes, very disappointing to not beat the longtime rival Pacers, but the results are now in and Tom Thibodeau is fired. Tom Thibodeau, the most successful Knicks coach in a quarter century, was fired. There's so much I'm thinking right now. Actually, the way I felt when I first heard the news is kind of different than I feel now. But let's take it to Arya Shirazi first for a gut reaction to the news. Surprised, not surprised. Start there and then give me some thoughts, please.
Not surprised, but I don't know exactly how I feel about it. And you reiterated the key point when you broke the news just now, in that Thibodeau took the Knicks, not just the disappointing on the court Knicks for 25 years, but unbelievably embarrassing Knicks. And as we have talked about at length in prior shows, at times the toxic Knicks. Mm-hmm. And the last few years under Thibodeau's stewardship, it has finally not been that. So, you know, it's that sense of wow, Thibodeau took them to a place where they hadn't been in 25 years, which is a long time. 'Cause the Pacers in that time have had at least one team, different incarnation of themselves, that has been to the conference finals.
Sure.
And then retooled again. So 25 years is a long time. And Thibodeau being rewarded for that is being canned. There's an element of injustice to that. But again, not surprise. And I think it comes down to, and the news is still fresh, so I'm not sure even which way I'm leaning on this. But in many sports firings and NBA firings or partings. And Thibodeau is the latest one. A coach takes a dead-end franchise, brings them back to relevancy, and then brings them back to true competitiveness, and then is let go. Mark Jackson comes to mind about 10 years ago, where he really resurrected the
Warriors. Warriors. Charles, I hate to interrupt you, but
oh sure,
but you talked about having mixed feelings, and then made a very strong argument why Tibbs shouldn't be fired, which is frankly where I've landed.
Well, that's the first
why the
part.
Mixed feelings then? Where does the mixed part come in?
The second part is, has Thibodeau taken the Knicks as far as he can?
Okay.
Because again, and here, you know, Tibbs has followed kind of a very linear progression and then is not being given the chance to see if he can take the next and or final step and complete it. He took the Knicks, who hadn't been to the playoffs in a good long time, to the postseason, and they lost in the first round. And then after a back step hiccup of a year, brought them back to the playoffs, where they won a round and made it to the second round. And then last year, they won a round and made it to the second round. And now this year, they win two rounds, one of which was a thrilling second round victory over the hated Celtics. I mean, the greatest Knicks playoff victory in forever, really, since Pat Riley. Maybe not even Van Gundy.
So why fire this guy?
Well, because
I mean, he's taken them as far as they can go. I mean,
well, I don't
by
know
that
that
logic,
he has.
Took
maybe
them
there's
farther.
That sense that he has. And also, I think the fact that he was so clearly outcoached by Rick Carlisle, if there is any appetite at all on behalf of Knicks management to make a change, that last taste provides a lot of the logical ammunition. Forget the context that the Knicks are in the conference finals, having the best year they've had in 25 years, but it's the fact that he was outcoached and they lost to a less talented, I'd say, a more together, but less player for player talented team. I think provides a lot of the tangible justification.
Yeah, and it's such a unfair game, because if you know the Knicks don't repeatedly go 1 for 2 from the line in game one, they win that game. You know, that's not Thibodeau. That's professional basketball players missing fourth quarter free throws in the playoffs. And, you know, blaming a coach for that, you know, really isn't great. I certainly agree with you about Carlisle out-coaching him. I think there is an argument, though, that the reason that team is so together on the Pacers is because that team has been together. You know, the Knicks integrated Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, got rid of two key pieces in Randle and DiVincenzo. So Tibbs only gets 1 year to see if this very, very new combo can do something. And in that 1 year, he, I would argue, overachieves and then gets fired. Now, we both have friends who every game, you know, pick apart Tibbs. And I know that I hate Tibbs and fire Tibbs has been part of the New York ecosphere for some time. And I don't know, but I think this feels like Leon Rose being what we would call impressionistic. Like you said, bad taste from Indiana, bad taste from Carlisle. I guess this is as far as he can take us. You're fired. I just have a different view. I think you can explain this by like this. This is the second time that Karl-Anthony Towns has gotten Tom Thibodeau fired from a job?
Yeah, that's an asinine statement. But no, I mean, sports at the highest level and sports in New York at the highest level, particularly, is a climate of impatience and a climate of pretty short memories. And, you know, transplanted New Yorkers plunking down 50 grand for courtside seats and then losing both games at Madison Square Garden. That was the only good thing to come out of losing those games.
Absolutely.
That made
suffering
me,
of John Stewart, God bless him.
Legitimately made me smile both times when I was feeling bad about the losses. I was like, at least those people are unhappy right now.
You
and
know who
didn't
bothers
feel
me?
Like they got the bang for their bucks, but management is aware of that and is aware that it's the most expensive ticket in the history of criminally expensive sports tickets, and they lost both games. And so there's most likely going to be a scapegoat for that. And Thibodeau, 5 years into his tenure, again, very successful, but I would guess, without knowing for sure, that the average NBA coaching stint is less than 5 years.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
in general.
And I get that. It's just there are very few coaches, very few, that I would describe as difference makers. Like you can bake in 10 wins or whatever just because this team hires the right coach. And, you know, Doc Rivers is not one of those coaches. But Tom Thibodeau really is. Like you look at
Is he every
Chicago.
year, though, Dave?
What?
Is he every year?
No, not every year. I
you
just
know, I mean, I know what you mean, but like, I don't know that just by virtue of Tibbs being at the helm, the Knicks added 8 to 10 wins this year. They did in his first year.
Yeah, I mean more the first year, like
yeah.
Someone who can transform the culture of a franchise immediately, and not because he's super charismatic or the, you know, the chief, Phil Jackson.
No, the opposite. He seems like kind of, you know, uncomfortable to be around.
A grinder. And, you know, I mean, another point is like after the last game, Jalen Brunson was asked, is Tibbs the coach? And it really pissed him off. And he was like, of course, that's our guy. And then, you know, Josh Hart is apparently bereft because he was such a Tibbs favorite and he really.
I guess it shows that Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart are not don't have the ownership's ear when it comes to those kind of decisions.
It does show that. And that certainly doesn't surprise me. Although I always thought Brunson would get more say when he took that. I thought that was part of it. You know, he took that massive discount on that contract with this understanding that he would have a say on some of this stuff as the franchise guy. So this, and I think Jalen Brunson's a very honest guy, and that was a very raw moment. So I totally think he was being sincere. That just says to me about the amount of heat there must have been to fire this guy, like from the streets, even from Knicks fans. I mean, the fire Tibbs thing, losing to Indiana, that game one. I just think there was just too much baggage, and I think it's a shame. But I also get why it happened. I just, you know, disagree with it.
Yeah, I think if anything, I disagree too. I definitely think he earned the right to take them further. You know, if Indiana and Boston and Cleveland, who I thought was definitely the class of the East, until they weren't, if that's who the Knicks are going to be battling in the next few years, then that's very, very doable. should have been happening now, which is ultimately what one of the things that cost Tom his job. But no, I'd feel comfortable, running this back.
A lot of Giannis
It was
rumors.
interesting that, the normally for a long time unbendable Thibodeau, hearing that he was running players into the ground and ending their careers or and their primes prematurely. And there are a few different players who it's you know it, it's examples of that. He relented. He relented in the playoffs and started opening up his rotation, and it seemed forced and awkward. Like the players he was choosing to insert kind of almost defiantly to show, all right, I can play more than seven players. I recognized that show of flexibility and then was wondering why it was those players he was choosing to introduce at crucial moments while keeping others nailed to the bench, who I felt as though should have been a part of the rotation all along.
And they proved that in the final series where DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet had amazing plus minus numbers, like the best on the team. And like the
Yeah,
fact
that's
that
weird.
those
I was
two.
kind of thinking about them as guys that I was wondering why they were on the floor.
Oh, no,
So.
they brought results. I thought you were talking more about, the endless nightmare that is that shooting motion. Can't even think.
Pain?
What?
Campaign?
Yes, campaign. So
No,
much pain.
okay. Well, right. He
That's
was
what I thought you
removed
meant.
and Wright was inserted in his place. And again, I haven't seen plus minuses, so I guess I'm incorrect, as I've been incorrect on so much throughout this entire season. Pretty much everything.
Remember though, like the it makes sense if you think about like. Remember we kept saying like why is on text we were all saying like why are they better when Brunson's sitting? Why are they better when that that refrain like this is different than every other series. They're better when Brunson's sitting and
I could see why that was happening. I mean, actually, and listen, I guess this is another strike actually against Thibodeau in a way. Brunson being lauded as a clutch player and being the guy who can hit tough shots with 1 second left on the clock, that became their offense.
yeah.
That became their offense. It was evident in Boston, and it was frequent against the Pacers, because I know Knicks fans who are easy to criticize Towns and act as though, oh, why isn't Towns getting more involved? Why isn't he doing more? And to me, a lot of that speaks to coaching. In that case, redesign your offense or emphasize getting the ball to this person if you feel as though the ball should be in their hands and they're not having enough. And that also goes to the point guard. You and I have talked about the point guard position forever and about how the point guard, if you have a scoring point guard, that's great. And the Knicks have a scoring point guard. But if Towns is not, and I felt as though when Towns had the ball in his hands, he produced. So the problem is, oh, he's too passive. Okay,
No, he wasn't passive at all. That was a man series, you know?
but to me, I saw the Knicks offense in a way that I actually hadn't over the past two seasons, which was there's very little continuity to it. Jalen Brunson scores a lot. And scores a lot in wins because he's a really good scorer. Towns scores a lot because he's a really good scorer. But both of those guys, very rarely was where their presence is really helping the other.
That's true.
They were manufacturing their own offense, and either those guys or Thibodeau never figured out or never prioritized having them both be at the top of their offensive games at the same time and making it easier on the other person. It was either Brunson scores because he's a good scorer, or Towns scores because he's a good scorer. Anunoby was creating his own shit, pretty much being forced to, and delivering. Bridges was shooting almost every single time he got the ball.
Yeah,
There's
because he got it
very
so
little.
infrequently.
Frequently, he touches the ball and it's going up. And I don't say that totally derisively, because there were possessions, several possessions in a row where he knew he wasn't going to necessarily touch the ball. So in a
Exactly.
way, there's urgency, and that's an indictment again on the Knicks' offense. So what I realized over this past series, but even as we were winning the Celtics series, I was noticing it, was, yeah, it's really the Knicks are scoring more than the other team a lot off the backs of their individual talents, as opposed to Thibodeau has really figured out how to combine these dimensional offensive all-stars with some other really good offensive options to make things easy for everybody else. Even when Hart and Robinson were producing, it was on the offensive boards and hustle. They were making it happen for themselves. I realized very seldom was any one Nick really setting up another Nick and making it easy. And that certainly caught up to them in this past series.
They were not playing the beautiful game, that's for sure. But the thing, and I agree with you, Mikal Bridges is so much more than he's been. He's also, I think, much more of somebody who should be integrated into the offense. OG as well, you leave this series always so impressed with OG in these big moments. Especially when they need that shot. They're down 82-73. They could go within six. OG. It's such a waste because let me just say this. If you were drafting Pacers versus Knicks before this series, I think, one, I mean, we could do
Three of the
this.
top five would be Knicks,
We
and I
could do
think
this
the
right now.
top two would be
I'll go
Knicks.
first. I'll go first. Brunson.
Towns.
Okay. Siakam.
Halliburton.
And then I would go right Ananobi.
Me too. And then there's a bunch of good players.
But even after Ananobi, who would you go with? Probably
Probably
Bridges.
Miles Turner.
Really? Over
I think
Bridges?
so. I in general, I think Miles Turner, and not by a wide margin, they occupy the same tier. But I would say, and it all also depends on who else you have. These are both two number four options. But
Yeah,
in
I'm just
general, I
frustrated.
consider Miles Turner a bit of a higher caliber player than Bridges.
It's just frustrating, and we need. I still think we can win a championship with Jalen Brunson as a primary player, as the face of the franchise. But you hear these rumors, and I actually love. I mean, we should get to, before we talk about Giannis. There are these rumors coming out of the locker room that. People are kind of scapegoating Towns and saying it was his defense, was just really pissing people off throughout the series. And it's so tough for me because I think rebounding is part of defense. And he was a, that's why Ben Wallace got all those damn awards. And he was a ferocious rebounder, Towns was ferocious inside. And yeah, sometimes he would do wacky stuff on the court or whatever, but I really do feel like that's coaching too. It's like, all right, so Carl doesn't know where he needs to be on defense after 9 years in the NBA. It's like, well, he's gonna learn, or he's gonna sit. Like, this is absurd, if it's that bad. But to hear people grumble about it after the fact was bothersome to me. And yeah, it did make me wonder. if they're going to do something so drastic as to fire Tibbs, is it to set up a kind of Ananobi and Towns and draft picks for Giannis Antetokounmpo?
You know, I mean, Carl has never been a great individual defender. He's a great defensive rebounder. He is he blocks some shots and always has throughout his career. But for all of his offensive smoothness on offense and his ability with the ball in his hands to move like a 6'6" guy, he is not smooth on defense. He does not move his feet well. And which is why he was such a successful pairing with Gobert.
Right.
For those couple of years. You know, it really worked.
Number one defense in basketball.
So I'm not here to defend Towns' defense and as the last line of protection. I will say that that is not the reason that they lost to Indiana. And Towns came to New York, and in the first year he was there, they made it to the conference finals for the first time in 25 years. So
and he was an
to
all
me, that's where we're at.
And he
with
played
that.
At an all, and he was just on the all NBA teams.
So, okay. Giannis is, you know, Brunson and Towns are two probably top 15, top 20 players in the league. They were on the all NBA team, and then there are a few top players who weren't on those teams because they didn't qualify. So they're two of the top 20 players in the game. Antetokounmpo is one of the few players who is just better than both of those guys. So, you know, you had just mentioned, I don't know, I haven't heard anything. I don't know if you've heard this specifically or talking more abstractly, but Towns and Ananobi potentially shipped out for Giannis.
Yeah, with
maybe
picks. And
there are
yeah,
parts
no,
on
no,
both sides, but
this
that
is a
being the
live rumor.
principles, that is a right. You're saying two of your three best players from a conference finals team that most people kind of agree underachieved in the conference finals. Moving them, that is a big risk. And is the Giannis Brunson combination that much of an upgrade that conference finals turns into finals? I don't, you know, I'm not saying offhand that it's absolutely wrong. I'm certainly wouldn't be cheerleading for it. I would rather run back this core and just actually like coach the offense better. But yeah, I mean, I guess the thought is in 3 years he won't be, but he is now. So if you have the opportunity to get still prime Antetokounmpo and team him with one of the best scoring guards in the league, and because Giannis is such a singular force that takes the ball out of Brunson's hands in a way that might be good, because
yeah,
you're not relying on Jalen to be a playmaker as much, and while still allowing him to be a primary scorer, at times the primary scorer. Yeah, I could see how that could be viewed as we have to take that chance. That is not what I'm hoping the offseason yields, but I understand if that winds up materializing or if that's what the Knicks front office really wants to go for.
Yeah, and you know, Giannis is also an A-minus passer. Brunson, I'll give him a very kind B/B-.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And Giannis is the sort of person who, if the ball is taken out of Brunson's hands, who has the capacity to actually set Brunson up, you know, so it for better shots. I mean, you can see why it would be so attractive. He's a generational Hall of Famer. The question, though, really is, like, as someone who loves OG, is there enough in the cupboard? Giannis coming in. I mean, you've already strip-barked Randall and DiVincenzo for just one Towns. Now, again, you're doing a two-for-one of core players.
That's why I said I think it's a huge risk and one that I would not be thrilled about. I think, you know, you're probably talking about my two favorite players on the Knicks. So, you know, I'm not looking for those two guys to be shipped out at all. I think that they're part of a solution, not a part of not stepping stone players. But, you know, at this point, Brunson is a better Lillard. He's a better scoring guard to play off of a top five player than Lillard. And yeah. I thought Lillard and Giannis worked better than a lot of people gave them credit for. They mm-hmm. just never were together at the right times. Mm-hmm. But so that's a combination that I could see going to the championship. But you are right, man. I mean, and granted, you never know, pardon me, what acquisitions can be made. But let's just say that that hypothetical trade is made. We're talking Robinson, Antetokounmpo, Bridges, Hart, Brunson, and Wright. DeLon Wright, and who's the other
McBride.
Guy?
McBride.
Yeah, so.
No love for McBride.
Yeah, no, Deuce is a third guard. So, yes, McBride is a part of it. But Wright, I mean, you know, the Knicks already being very thin, right? They get thinner. And they take away two guys playing 40 minutes a game for someone who, if you want to maximize what's left of his prime, you don't play him 40 a game.
Yeah, you might not even
of minutes and had his share of injuries already.
Yeah, exactly. No, and injuries have become a theme with Giannis as well in recent years. It's tough. You know, Karl Towns is a hard hat, you know, for all the what people say about him. I mean, he's there every night giving you 25 and 14. I mean, does Giannis do much? Of course, Giannis does more than that statistically, but does he do so much more than that that it's worth also kicking OG Anunoby, who is a championship-level starter, kicking him off of the team? It's just, I don't know, man. I don't, it's the way I feel sort of about the Thibodeau thing, which is like, okay, I kind of get it, but I don't like it. That's where I am with both at this point.
You and I agreed throughout the season that Mikal Bridges did not live up to his reputation as an outstanding defensive player. Mm-hmm. I thought he had a disappointing year defensively.
Yeah,
Bridges. Anunoby was the true stopper.
Yeah.
He was the defensive hero on the team. So as much ground as Giannis covers, and I know that he is a huge physical force on both ends of the floor, and particularly mm-hmm. defensively. Okay, sometimes you can feel like he's everywhere defensively. But no, I mean, removing your best defensive player and removing your big man and second leading scorer who has an offensive game that nobody else really duplicates, that's really banking on that Antetokounmpo is bringing a championship.
And also, I would say one of the Knicks' faults that people are saying about Thibodeau was not enough three-pointers, which, by the way, that was one of the things I liked about the team. But you're taking away a seven-footer who shoots over 40% at a high volume for Giannis? That's supposed to help your three-point shooting? That seems a little odd and counterintuitive. All that being said, are you ready for the prediction of predictions?
Yeah, I'm ready. Lay it on me.
You don't look ready, Eli Wallach. You...
I love Eli, but why am I him?
If I'm being honest, first name to come into my head.
Oh.
I've been watching a lot of Criterion. I saw Crossfire the other night. That's a great film.
Really great.
Really, Robert Ryan, performance of a lifetime.
Yeah, and the whole cast is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Mitchum at his best. But, yeah, why are we talking about that? So, my prediction. We're going to be talking in 6 months about a Knicks team with Giannis. Former Giannis teammate Dante DiVincenzo and new coach Jay Wright. The Nova Knicks.
Tripling down on the Nova Knicks.
That's what I think is going on.
That'd be embarrassing.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I thought we ditched that. We ditched it. We got better. We didn't need that gimmick. We didn't need it. We didn't need that gimmick. I don't think I personally don't think, like, building the team. What we need is to build the team, recreate Villanova. I don't know, man. I'm not. I've heard worse ideas, but I think that's. I mean,
you said they need depth, and Ed Pinckney is just waiting for a job.
How do you go about acquiring DiVincenzo?
Oh, I thought you thought you were about to say Ed Pinckney and just play it along. I'm not sure. I just know, there's some smart dudes, some draft picks, some swaps. Maybe bring in a third or fourth team. You find a way. The great GMs find a way. Sam Presti would find a way.
Interesting. That just when everybody was getting, and I know that, right, for you, this is unfinished business.
Yes.
Because, you were trying to psych yourself up for the concept of the Nova Knicks, which I always found a little bit.
And I like Dante in the playoffs. I felt like Dante was a playoff dude.
But they ditch it because they upgrade. And then after having the best season they've had in 25 years, part of the new plan is actually let's Nova Knicks it.
Well, part of the new
turns out. Turns out we're Nova Knicksing it all the way down to the head coach who's been retired and has never coached in the pros.
Well, it turns.
And I'm not saying it's a bad idea, Dave.
Good, because it also turns out that they fired their most successful coach in a quarter century after getting to game six of a
so there's a vacancy.
Finals. Where his team, good Lord. I mean, that's actually, when I knew he might be fired was honestly after game one, that they're looking at this horrific collapse and the focus was on moves that Tibbs had made and not on the players. And I'm pro player to the nth, but the missed free throws, the turnovers, I mean, you need a coach to tell you to put your hand up in Neesmith's face? Like he should have had somebody on Neesmith. Like, what? This isn't 4-on-4 on 103rd Street. I just when people were like, fucking Thibodeau, after that game one loss, I was like, people might be done with him.
We never ran 4-on-4 on 103rd, Dave. It was only fives.
Yeah, I know. I misspoke.
Always five.
I misspoke. My bad.
It was a full court. I don't know. It's funny that, I as we've been discussing this, I think I have at least understood more. I've understood the kind of fatal criticisms of Thibodeau. I actually felt that we talked through it. It's It's an indictment on him, the fact that I feel as though he had better and more talented and more versatile offensive players, and the Pacers' offense looked better just about every game. Just looked better. The players were like looked like they understood how to play with each other. And it got guys a lot of open shots. The Knicks don't run an offense to get open shots. As I said, I agree with you. Ananobi hits huge shots. They're almost always off the dribble threes, where he's
Always
looking at
contested
where
too.
he's looking a dude dead in the eyes and just gets it off and hits it in somebody's grill. It's very rarely is he squared up with his toes behind the line for a catch and shoot. The Knicks offense just doesn't work like that, unfortunately. And it has the players that it can work on that. So even as we've talked it out, as we've kind of talked about why the Knicks season ended when it did and where they go from there, as we have discussed details, I think I've moved a little bit more towards, if not totally supporting it, really understanding the rationale behind moving on from Thibodeau. Unless you have faith in him becoming a better offensive coach. But when you've been with your team all year long, why can't you make adjustments when you need to? In a way, that's the mark of the best coaches and the ones who are coaching at the end. Is being able to make adjustments. Tibbs couldn't make, I don't feel like he made it here this year.
Look, game six. I don't want to repeat the same point, but I do want to make this point. Another argument for coming back with Tibbs, and another argument for going back in next year with stability. The Eastern Conference is going to suckety suck, suck, suck next year. Like no Eastern Conference has ever sucked, ever. The Celtics will be down year without Tatum. The Bucks, I think Giannis is either going to be traded or it's just looking really bad. We know what's up with the Sixers and the big contract. They got none of the for both George and Embiid. Nothing got none of the top picks, no Dylan Harper, no Cooper Flagg. I mean, it's going to be, it's kind
You're
of
talking
like
about the Sixers, but they got three.
they got
And
three,
they
but
got one of the
three.
top, they got, I mean,
Oh, but
better than they
three.
expected to.
Yeah, no, that's true, but three was just considered a fall off over those first two. So that, like, everyone was like, those are the two that are going to make a difference immediately. I mean, there'll always be others. People. Scouts got a scout. But I just think, like, with the East clearly going to be down, what the heck? Like, why not go back with the team and go for it again with stability, with the idea about, like, we won 50 in a better conference than it will be next year? I don't know, man.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that about the core players. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm usually in favor of, I'm rarely in favor of firing a coach as the solution. That is such like a cheap gut reaction usually, I think, you know. But I think I felt that way when Mark Jackson was fired 10 years ago. I was like, Golden State was irrelevant forever, and now they're not under Mark. And just when he's like created something and developed these young players, you're moving on from him. I don't look back now and say it was a mistake to hire Steve Kerr, or that Steve Kerr won Mark Jackson's rings. Jackson would have been in the finals those 5 years and then brought. I don't, I mean, like, that's not even thought of now because who Steve Kerr has become. And in a way, it's similar. So, am I saying this will be worth it if the next Knicks coach is as successful as Steve Kerr. Sure. But what I mean, do you see what I mean? It's like,
you're saying that this is hardly new on the NBA landscape.
Hardly new. And in this case, I don't know, after 5 years, and I'm not, there's no recipe. There's no, but it isn't, they're not moving on after two or three. It's five. He's a very known, I don't know. I don't know that. And everything you're saying is correct.
But this is what's bothersome too, is that this is different than the Mike Malone firing, where all time winningest coach in Denver history, he won a ring. Well, it's like the shit got sour, and that happens, and they made a choice to get rid of him. Memphis as well. It's like, it's not like they were on the upswing and fired Jenkins. I mean, they're apparently, the stories that came out afterwards, sounds like a total shit show over there for everybody. So, okay. But here, the firing on an ascendancy is just, like with Jackson, like, which also bummed me out at the time.
At the time.
Yeah.
Here's where, and again, and I'm not trying to, I'm wondering, I'm not like nitpicking, but outside of Brunson and Hart, who you've documented, are the Knicks heartbroken? I'm not expecting you to know, but I'm saying, we've no, Tom Thibodeau is a known entity. He lasted longer in New York than in any of his previous stops, and he probably has something like a 60% winning percentage as an NBA coach. He wins more than he loses in all three stops. He turned around all three teams in the NBA from where they were kind of quickly and had a short shelf life. You and I talked about that a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's Thibodeau, so history would say that the locker room is tuning him out right now, or already has, or is about to tomorrow. It kind of turned out that didn't happen. But again, outside of those two guys who, again, kind of spoke also in the heat of the moment, and I'm sure they do really feel that way, I bet there are a lot of Knicks who are ready for a different voice, and are ready for a different regimen, and are ready to see some of their teammates play 22 minutes a game rather than nine. So I'm not going to say that I know, but I'm not going to say that Denver and Memphis were shit shows where, you know, they had, you know, that, you know, like they had lost the room, but Thibodeau still had buy-in. I don't know that. And in a way, that's kind of doubtful.
Well,
because he's been
know,
there so long.
One thing we know is that it's New York. We're doing this right after the news day of. And, you know, something's going to be leaked. I mean, already that town stuff leaked about players being like, what was his problem on defense? And we'll see what leaks about Thibodeau. So, well, oh man, I'll tell you this though. I'll tell you just one last little note. A lot of people are saying that Jokic looks, and the Nuggets, that championship core, looks really good right now, given that they took OKC to seven and could have won that series.
Still won, I think, yeah.
And then you see OKC, frankly, dominate Minnesota in a way that was embarrassing for that franchise. And then, of course, OKC in the first round against Memphis. I mean, the fact that Denver did what it did, people are now holding that team and that coach, that Alfred E. Newman coach, in higher esteem. If the Pacers run roughshod over the Thunder, I think people might look back on this series and say, maybe Thibodeau did a better job than we thought.
Yeah. I mean, the pace, right now, there's no shame in losing to the Pacers.
Exactly. That's my whole point. I mean, the
Pacers. Even before Tatum got hurt. Before Tatum got hurt, I thought the Cavs were kind of clearly the best team in the East. Mm. And I thought they were going to the finals. And after they beat the snot out of the Heat in the first round, I felt validated by that. And Indiana then went into Cleveland, where nobody had won all year, and won the first two games, effectively ending the series, and won both of those road games in the two ways that you win when you're a team of destiny. One is that you go in and they punched the Cavs in the mouth in game one and were just the better team. And in game two, Cleveland was up double digits, including 20 points in the second half, double digits all game. And then Indiana stole one, which is another hallmark of a team that's built to go far. And then they did the same to the Knicks in many ways.
That's
Came
right.
into the Garden, $50,000 courtside seats. It's not 50,000 at Market Square Arena courtside.
One of
So, oh,
the
go
home
ahead.
of Steve Stepanovich is just not gonna, bring in the bread like the house that Patrick built.
But again, came in one game one, and then were the when everybody was like, oh, okay. They ain't taking two at the crib. They're not winning two at the Mecca. No fucking way. We know where we were. Down 2-0. So what I mean is, like, I thought they were going to lose to a depleted Bucks team in the first round, coached by Doc Rivers. So I have just been wrong on them constantly, just like I was wrong on Oklahoma constantly. And so for me, it's now, fuck it, Indiana, right? The Pacers. They're beating everybody I think is better than them. And so you're right. If they go on and beat the Thunder, which I really hope they do, and ultimately I don't think they're going to.
Agreed on both counts.
But if they do, I think, yes, that makes Thibodeau look less bad,
And
because Kenny Atkinson is a great coach who was the deserved coach of the year, and he got outcoached by Carlisle.
yeah, that's right.
That
And
was unmistakable.
one
So,
point about Indiana, there was this brief period in the first part of last season, the previous season, where Halliburton looked like he was going to be first team all NBA and a top three MVP candidate. And then he got some really bad nagging injuries.
he hasn't been that since, right?
Yeah, and there was also this really annoying shit that he was playing like 20 minutes a game so he could get to 65 games just to get this, the threshold so he could win awards and shit. And
If you're only playing about 20 minutes a game, how are you going to win any awards?
they would space it out so you'd get to the 60. Yeah, all right, you're being facetious, thank you. But it's just like that they're
No, what I'm saying is that you see what I mean.
yeah, I do.
If you're not playing the minutes that you usually play to hit a game's played threshold, then you're not going to have the production to benefit from playing off those things. That's all. That's all.
Exactly.
Right?
It was
Kind of
just,
self-defeating.
he looked like ass. He looked like the way he looked in that game five in New York, where he took like seven shots. There are way too many games like that. But, at their best, they reminded me of that team from early last season where you thought, holy shit, like there might really be something here. And of course, because no one really took their trip to the EC Finals seriously last year. Because of the Knicks injuries, because of the Bucks injuries. So, and then Boston sweeps them. It just wasn't really seen as serious. This is as serious as a heart attack.
I consider this a full team effort. I don't look at this, I don't feel as though Halliburton has put this team on his back.
Oh, agreed.
I think he's playing very good. He is an all-star point guard. At times he doesn't play like it, and now he really is. I also think Siakam deserved MVP of that series. There weren't games where Siakam was only taking seven shots. He showed up every game every quarter. I have a totally different regard for him, actually, this postseason, as I have before. And he's been a decorated player for years now, over two teams. But I, you know, I'm looking at him with more respect as a winning player and as a featured winning player than I think I ever really gave him credit for before. If the Pacers win the championship, I think it'll rightly be discussed as potentially the least talented champion ever.
Well,
which would be a testament to them, which would be a testament. Me personally, I don't feel as though anybody on this team, and maybe that's just because, you know, memory and time makes the heart grow, makes memories grow fonder. But I don't consider any player on this Pacers team on the impactful level of Billups and Ben Wallace in 04.
I hear you.
So,
I wanted to just say, before we got too far away from it, if they can beat this 68-win Oklahoma City Thunder team four times in seven games with the MVP, SGA, we're going to also then start to reassess some of the talent on this team.
True.
Like maybe Siakam's better, the Eastern Conference MVP. And by the way, I hope you saw the footage of Tyrese walking to get the award, and then they announced Siakam's name, and he had to scurry back.
Really?
He's being humiliated, which I am enjoying. But I might be rooting for the Pacers, man. I mean, why not? Let's see it. I love Carlisle. Let's go. No, I can't do it.
I think it's...
I want a long series.
A fittingly weird end to just a weird, weird, weirdo season. I mean, to me... what kind of wraps the whole thing up, and what just confirms to me that I'm right now just not on the wavelength, apparently, of understanding what makes you really good in the NBA and what doesn't, because my instincts over the past few years have just been very wrong. Like I'm like been considering relinquishing my title as savant because my outlook has not been savant. Like, for example, you know, I like when we talked when the playoffs were beginning, I was really thinking, I remember I was like Cavs Lakers. And part of that was just like, I was feeling right away, dividends are going to be paid in the form of just confirming and further shaming the Mavericks. You know, I was like, it is not only does everybody know what they did, but it'll be what they wrought. Because right off the bat, Doncic and LeBron together are going to win it, are going to go to the finals. And so it is going, so what Dallas did is going to be so present. And for the record, and what happened was the Lakers went out in five in the first round and were non-factors in the postseason. And the Mavericks were gifted Cooper Flagg en route to relocating to Vegas. So again,
that is the best way to sum up this season.
Really? I mean, to
really
me, that
nutshell, just how corrupt and gross.
That's the nutshell. That's really it.
So corrupt, so gross, so obvious what happened. You're going to trade Doncic to LA because that's our tentpole franchise. And in return, you're going to get Cooper Flagg and we'll start talking Vegas. But Nico Harrison, you have to be willing to be the most hated man in Texas, and there's probably $100 million in a Swiss bank account somewhere.
Right, right.
Miriam Adelson calls the money between the cushions on her couch. I digress.
And then in the and then in the almanac, the footnote will be that Indiana met Oklahoma City in the championship.
Exactly. And you know what? I love a good almanac. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. This was an emergency pod, obviously. Thank you, Shiraz, for jumping on. We had to talk some tips. Ooh. We should do a show called Talking Tibbs, where we follow his antics from week to week. Just an idea. Stay frosty, everybody. We are out of here. Peace.